Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Luke Morrow and Brandon Scott in for the guys today here on The Drive. Coming up, who has the most pressure on them to get this offense for the Houston Texans where they would like it to be in this 2025 season? Yeah. Talk about that.
This is interesting, man. I've pondered on this ever since you presented it pre-show.
Yeah.
Because I think all of the options are viable. You know, not as a cop-out, but just as a reality of it.
Yeah.
I think you could go a number of different directions. So I'm very curious to see how this segment goes for all of us.
Text the show 713-572-4610 to offer up your thoughts and opinions. Who has the most pressure on them to correct the offense this year? And I guess when I think about that question, I might say that it comes down to, like, who would be blamed the most if things don't work out this year? And
that's an interesting spin on it. That's an interesting spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Who are we going to hold most accountable if things don't work out this year? And so the options that I presented, and feel free to provide your own, but the obvious ones: head coach DeMeco Ryans, obviously new offensive coordinator Nick Caley. Then you have the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, of course, and then Cole Popovich, new offensive line coach. And if you even want to throw maybe, say, the GM for the roster construction, you could do that as well.
Quite frankly, it's bullshit.
It might be. We'll see. I know 713 texted in and said Stroud doesn't have it, whatever that is. I know some people are down on Stroud after what we saw last year and from year one to year two. So who has the most pressure on them to right the ship and correct it? Obviously, Caley's the new guy. We saw Stroud last year. DeMeco's been here. Popovich was here, but now in a different role. So when it comes to Stroud, you have something to base it off of. You want to see improvement from last year. Caley, maybe there's some sort of learning curve. But who has the most pressure? I will toss it up to you first, Brandon. Who do you think the onus is on the most for this offense? Who do you think might be held the most responsible if things don't improve offensively for the Texans this year?
So I think that the answer has to go to the offensive coordinator, Nick Caley. And I think that it's pretty close between Caley and Cole Popovich, because the primary issue with the offense was the offensive line. I think we can all agree on that part, you know, for all of our different gripes and things that we might point out about the team. The thing that kept them from going from good to great, or from even mediocre to good, was the offensive line. That was the Achilles heel. They couldn't protect Stroud. They didn't really run block as well, even though the run game was better. But I think that was largely in part because they just had a better running back. They had Joe Mixon, like an actual number one running back. So the offensive line itself I think is probably, this is interesting, because the offensive line itself is probably under the most pressure. But from a coaching standpoint, I think it's Nick Caley, and that's because he is the new guy. Like, I think with Cole Popovich, you could say, and let's say the offensive line doesn't perform well, you could maybe excuse that away by just saying, you know what? They're just not good at acquiring offensive linemen, because that's been my take. That's been my position on it for a while now. Like, for as good as they are at identifying defensive players, they, for whatever reason, have a weakness when it comes to scouting or evaluating or acquiring offensive linemen. I don't know what the reason is, but again, all I can deal with is the results, and the results ain't good. So I know that part. But to me, Cole Popovich was here last year.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheer. You could say, like, that just simply changing coaches wasn't enough. They needed a complete overhaul in talent, okay? But for Nick Caley, I think it's much bigger, because you're changing offense and scheme and system and play calling. He's in his first year doing it. And again, I pointed this out earlier when we were talking about the CJ Stroud injury, but this is just such a critical year in the CJ Stroud era.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, nobody has any questions about paying the guy. I'm pretty sure that that's going to happen. But just in terms of making the most out of, we talk about this all the time when we're having football conversations, making the most out of the rookie contract of the quarterback, like hitting on the quarterback early, finding out that you hit on the quarterback early, not wasting no time on it. And certainly you did that with CJ Stroud, with him starting from day one and being good basically from his third game on, right? Or the second half of his second game in the NFL all the way through. He's been a legitimate quarterback ever since then. So it's like, okay, now CJ Stroud's present and future is in the hands of Nick Caley. Okay. And that to me is much bigger than just simply the job that the offensive line coach does. Also, the offensive line coach does still answer to the offensive coordinator. So, like, even to some degree, whatever lack of performance you get from the offensive line coach and the offensive line is still going to fall at the feet of said offensive coordinator, Nick Caley. So that to me has got to be the answer. He's responsible for the offense in its totality, but also we have now put the future of CJ Stroud in his hands, and there's nothing more valuable and more important for this team.
That's interesting, because I actually thought of the other two names I had mentioned, I think I lean more towards CJ and D'Amico, actually. And I think it also is dependent on where you stop drawing that line. So like you said, Nick Caley oversees the offense. And I'll get to some of these texts in a moment, but I've seen people say, well, yeah, but then D'Amico's the head coach who oversees all of it.
Yeah.
So he's responsible for the guy who's responsible for the offense. And then I saw someone say, well, Nick Caserio's the GM who does all the hiring and the play. So he's responsible for the guy who's responsible, so on and so forth.
There is a chain reaction, yeah, here, a domino effect, if you will.
That big Nick energy.
So it's everyone has a different opinion of where you kind of draw that line of who you hold most responsible. 832 says it's got to be Caserio. He's responsible, for better or worse, for all the personnel decisions, including the offensive coordinator, O-line, acquisitions, etc. 100% on D'Amico. This year and last year, he needs to coach the whole team. Someone else said D'Amico, period. The answer is CJ. D'Amico commands a top five defense. We've changed the offensive line. We've changed the offensive line coach. We changed the offensive coordinator. The only constant has remained CJ Stroud. If he doesn't deliver, it's his fault. Someone said the offensive line and the offensive line coach.
Well, wait a second here, man.
Hold on.
Yeah. Because, look, I was just interacting with one of our texters during the break about, you know, us being a little bit too negative and all of that. Part of the reason why I didn't go with D'Amico or CJ is because I thought that would have been overly negative. They are a huge part of the reason why the Texans are where they are now. Huge part of the reason why they won 10 games over the last couple of seasons. I just felt like those, not to say that there's not pressure on those guys, they're almost obvious answers because they're at the top of the food chain, but they also, to me, have the most equity built up. They have the least to prove. They are the most accomplished of this list. And so, you know, maybe it's, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. If you want to take that, you know, stance or perspective on it, you can. But to me, those are the most proven guys. Those are the guys that I believe in the most. And so, yeah, they got pressure on them. But maybe I answered it the way that I did because the other ones are the ones that are unproven. Those are the guys that ain't shown me nothing. Yeah. I don't know what Nick Haley is as an offensive coordinator. I don't know what Cole Popovich is as an offensive line coach. I still feel I would be shocked if I got to the end of this season and I was somehow doing a complete 180 talking about how DeMeco Ryans ain't no good coach and C.J. Stroud ain't no good quarterback. Like, I just can't imagine that world. I think the world of both of them, and I got a hard time believing that something's going to happen this season that's going to make me think otherwise. So, yeah, they got the most pressure because they're at the top of the food chain. But at the same time, they're also, again, like I said, they got the most equity built up. I got a hard time believing that they're not going to at least give me, at the bare minimum, what I've seen from them in the previous years.
Yeah, which is interesting because I'm with you on that, which is why I think I go the opposite way.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would give Kaley and Popovich almost a pass, I guess, because it is their first year.
Maybe some grace. Okay.
Although they will have, don't get me wrong, they have a lot of pressure on them. And if things are a disaster, I think there's a lot of pressure on this offensive team that I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Kaley's one and done if he proves the job is too much for him. I think there's a lot of pressure in getting this right. But where I go to Stroud and DeMeco is because they have been here. And while DeMeco is a good head coach, and while he's a very good defensive mind, and he's done a really good job here, and don't forget what things were like before DeMeco arrived here in Houston. Let's not take him for granted. Still, the offense has been the side of the football where, as the one texter I referred to said, you know, coach the whole team. There's this idea of he's the defensive guy. You bring in your buddy Bobby Slowick. It was a disaster. Now if you bring in Nick Kaley, I shouldn't say disaster. That's too strong. But it didn't work out. Now, if you bring in Nick Kaley, and that doesn't work either, it's almost like how many opportunities, not that DeMeco will be on the hot seat, but when it comes to specifically the offense, how many opportunities do we have to give you to get this right? Right? You go 0-for-2 in coordinators. And then for Stroud, I've always said this, that I always compare it to the whole, in the music industry, the third album being the big thing. He was great in year one. I don't know any other quarterbacks, please text the show if you can name one, who had a rookie season like C.J. Stroud and then never duplicated it or just fell off. So I am a C.J. Stroud guy. But when you have the good year and then you have the bad year, that third year is kind of the prove it to show us what you really are. And then you talk about the contract, you talk about this, you talk about the opportunity to win while you have the quarterback on that rookie contract. So I think there's a lot of pressure on him. Obviously, there always is, because quarterbacks, it's like the whole quarterback win stat, where obviously that's not just about the quarterback, but we put so much pressure on the quarterback that when the team doesn't win enough, when Lamar Jackson plays well in the playoffs, but his defense fails him, Lamar can't win the playoffs. So it might not be fair, but it always comes back to the quarterback. So I think I lean more towards DeMeco for trying to, as the head man, got to get this side of the football right, and then obviously Stroud, because you're the quarterback, fair or otherwise, it's always going to come down to you, even if you don't have the best play caller, or you don't have the strongest offensive line. You know, Patrick Mahomes makes his offense better. Tom Brady seemed to make his receivers better. So you still have to try to get the most out of that offense you can, even if it's not the perfect setup.
So what makes it a fun segment is actually the cop-out answer, which is really all of them.
It's true.
You know, like, and I'm glad I waited to the end of it to make that point. But they're all under a tremendous amount of pressure that I think is just different from the previous years. Obviously, Nick Kaley and Cole Popovich are new to their role. And DeMeco Ryans and C.J. Stroud, honeymoon phase in the first year, a lot of anticipation about year two. Wasn't necessarily as great, but the result ended up being the same. And so you can come away from it with a similar feeling like, okay, we're headed in the right direction. Winning a division, double-digit wins, winning a playoff game. The vibes are high. And I guess that's why I went that way. It's like a lot of it has to do maybe less with the question of pressure and more for me with confidence, right? My confidence is pretty high in those other two guys. And therefore, I'm not putting as much pressure on them because I already believe in them and what they do. But the other ones, I don't, because I don't know them. I don't know what they do or how good they are at it. So there is pressure from that standpoint, but it's certainly fine to go with either one of those other ones because they're in higher positions, right? You could just leave it at C.J. Stroud because everything falls at the feet of the quarterback, right? Like it's a quarterback-driven league. And then, of course, the head coach. The head coach-quarterback combination is the most important combination that there is in football anyway. So you could almost say by default that it's on them. But those two guys, Nick Kaley and Cole Popovich, are the unproven ones. and they're the ones with something. CJ Stroud has proven himself. You know, last year, downgrade, whatever, he's proven himself. D'Amico Ryans has proven himself. They got equity built up. These other two guys, they don't.
Yeah.
They just don't. So there's pressure for them to just simply prove themselves as worthy of the positions that they've been given.
It's true. Yeah, it's all four of them fall into it, and then it just comes down to personal opinion on every Texans fan of who you would blame the most. By the way, I see all the tech. Everyone immediately says RG3. I'm not talking about injuries. A quarterback who had a great first year, obviously, we have to exclude injuries. A quarterback who had a great first year and then just never, he just fell off. He kept getting worse to the point where he was just never that guy again.